So, Mr. Lucas Vermeulen, raise your hand. He is going to school, going off to college to Idaho, Pocatello, right? Is that where? Moscow. What's Pocatello? Oh, that's Idaho State. So it's Moscow. Now, Lucas, you're going to move that far away from home and stop just a few miles short of the promised land. I mean, Montana's that close. Yeah, okay. Hey, we're excited for you. Our prayers with you, for mom, the family, and blessings to you as you go off and study this year, okay? Do well. Do well. So I was just there briefly, visit my folks. The boys get to see their grandparents and had an enjoyable time, and it's great to come back and to delve into this text, Psalm 62. Kind of that environment helps me reflect on the almighty nature of God. So, we're doing a sermon series this summer on God is, and it's from a confessional line in our Westminster Confession of Faith that describes the attributes of God. We've talked thus far on God is eternal, and God is wise, God is all wisdom for us. Today, as God is almighty, we might say powerful as well. Omnipotent, same thing, the power he displays everywhere and at all times. And the text that we use in the midst of this confessional statement is Psalm 62, Psalm of David for the director of music. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. But how long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence. Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but with their hearts they curse. But yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him. For God is our refuge. Surely the lowborn are but a breath, but the highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, and two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love, and you reward everyone according to what they have done. This is the word of the Lord. So yeah, my father ran a rafting company in the summers. He was a teacher during the year and for many years, and I grew up on the river. So when you go home, whatever you grew up doing, you do again. And we did it. We went out on the river with my brother, my brother-in-law, a few friends, close friends, and my dad, and had a great time. Got sucked in some white water, my dad banged up his knee, guy fell out. See, great fun. This is what we do in Montana. And I was driving back. I had the truck with the trailer, the raft trailer, going back along the back roads in Montana. And where we live is just a beautiful mountain valley. It's the Mission Valley. It's the Rocky Mountains. You look up and you just think, this is amazing. And in the car was the greatest hits of John Denver. It's two CDs. The second CD is complete rubbish, but the first CD is really good. And It has a song on it called Thank God I'm a Country Boy. Remember you heard this song, right? I was looping that as I was driving. And you're looking up, those mountains, they're just stunning. And you look at all that would have happened in just a cosmic way to make those beautiful mountains. You look at it and you just say, there's clearly a grand design behind all this. There clearly is this beautiful nature of a power far greater than we could possibly think of and imagine, forming these mountains, these valleys, this world that we see, and just kind of basking in that truth. And yet, at the same moment, so I was thinking about even this text, as much as you look to the mountains and you think about the power of a creator, putting it all there, just the beauty and unfolding in it. You think about lives that are still being turned upside down in pretty dramatic ways. You think about people going through very difficult times, whether that being laying someone to rest far sooner than they planned to, things falling apart in ways they never dreamed would fall apart, people continuing to struggle with the very same things they thought they would beat at some point along the way. And you think that, how is an almighty powerful God that puts this all into place, how does that work in the lives of ordinary human beings? And we often think, you know, when we think of the word almighty, this is what we're looking at today, we kind of think that if we could kind of get kind of some inside information on the almighty power of God that created all these things and kind of provide a blueprint to show the world and to prove that there's a God above all things, and that people would just become Christians left and right. It's just not true. Most of the world's religions believe in a God who created the world, set things in motion. You can go from Aristotelian philosophy all the way to modern Eastern religions that believing that there is an intelligent design behind the universe is not a difficult thing to believe, despite the fact that there may be a large percentage in the scientific community who struggles with that. Most of the world doesn't struggle with that. Most of the world struggles with the idea that there's a God who cares, a God who's involved, a God who listens, a God who is with us, a God who is for them. And how many times have I heard as a pastor the line, if God is powerful enough to do all these things that are just remarkable on a cosmic level, why does he not use his power right here, right now, to fix this, to change this, to stop this? Now, biblically, belief in the Almighty God, absolutely. I believe in God the Father Almighty, what? Maker of heaven and earth. The Almighty power of God is very much front and center for us in the way in which he is the one who is behind all things. He's the one who holds all things together. He is the one who has demonstrated that he is far beyond the capacity of human willing. God's power is immense in this sense, and yet, more than not, the word Almighty in Scripture is attached to the character of God intervening in human history on behalf of his people, in their lives. Not just showing his strength, but demonstrating that he is a God who wants to be known, to be understood to be with us, to be followed, and yes, to be loved. And that power is supremely seen in his action, the power of the cross. We sing about this quite constantly. The power of the cross to do something that no other religion in the world believes. No other faith says to the human person, you're lost, you're helpless, you cannot do anything to save yourself. You are incapable of making yourself right in the face of God. In fact, you cannot even go out and find him as if you were on a journey. Many of the world's religions say this. You need to go on the spiritual journey to find God and to kind of clean yourself from all of the mistakes you've made in your life. When it comes to Scripture, the almighty nature of God says that he has become flesh because we are incapable of doing that for ourselves. Nothing we can do. And therefore, we want to say this morning that inasmuch as we believe in the almighty power of God to create, beautiful thing, the almighty thing that we hold on to in the creed is even more so than that, his ability to save. His power on behalf of the people that he has made. And when we look at this text from Psalm 62, you've got David, a king, one who is shown to be a man after God's own heart. And his psalms all throughout the whole Psalter talk about the nature of the amazing immensity of looking at what God can do throughout the world he has made, the power of the wind, the power of the waves, the power of light, the power of the world being made and created for us. And yet the almighty power of God that he looks to more than not is the power of God to act on his behalf. And you might think, scripturally, a man who says he's a man after God's own heart, scripturally a king, this is a privileged guy, he must have had a decent life, he must have had things fall into place, it's not something that I can relate to. And nothing could be further from the truth. If you look at the life of David, he was a guy who not expected to be in a position of power, let alone for 5 smooth stones that he put in his pocket to go help out an army one day. He was the one who, though he was the king in waiting, was in the line of fire from King Saul, left and right. He was on the run constantly. He was even had great victories, and then he'd be pushed off into the caves, doubting where he was to be serving, doubting whether or not he was the one to be king, questioning and being very much confused about the lies that were being told about him. And then he comes into power, and then he has a colossal meltdown himself, engaging in murder and infidelity and lying and stealing and being called on the carpet by the prophet Nathan. And then later on in life, his own son wanted to come and take his throne. His own son tried to take him out. This is why it's very, very helpful to not assume that the things that we know about biblical characters are just tried and true. That's why we get into Scripture to read them more carefully. David had a rocky road in his life. A lot from those who tried to take him out, and a lot from his own making. And the beauty of the Psalms is a guy crying out in this kind of back and forth, bizarre nature, talking about how amazing God is, and yet, God, where are you? Now, you can all relate to that, right? In one breath saying, you know what? Gosh, look at the mountains, amazing. When I look at what I've been brought through at times in my life, wow, I could never have orchestrated that for my own good. And yet in the same breath, but right now, I'm not feeling you. Right now, I'm having a tough time hearing you. Right now, I do not understand. And this is what we find in Psalm 62. He talks about the fact that in God, he finds his rest. For a guy on the run, constantly, without a place to put his head, he says, my rest comes from God. My salvation comes from him. And the way in which he uses the almighty power of God, he says, he is for me my rock. My rock. I like that. The idea that even when our emotions are going up and down, the idea that even when we're struggling in life, there is a firm foundation which we put our feet on, and it will not move despite what I'm experiencing. And then he goes into right out of the gate, you know what, but listen, I'm getting beat up along the way. I'm like a tiring fence that's going to fall down. They're intending to take me out, lying about me left and right. You know, they say one thing, they do the other. It doesn't seem... It's a soul that doesn't communicate right there, that he's at rest with God, right? He's struggling inside. But he says it again, though. Yet my soul finds rest in God. It's as if he's telling his soul not only what he believes, but what he should continue to believe. Soul, put your hope in God. Soul, put your rest in God. And remind yourself that my salvation and my fortress is in him, and I will not be shaken. Just goes on and describes the ways in which he thinks he is to put his faith and his trust in God despite how he feels. And at the end, there's this beautiful line. I talked about it with the kids, that there's power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. This is so important scripturally. Especially when we get to Jesus Christ. Because even the best of us at times, we have conceptions of God that have been put into our heads by culture, by history, that help us to think that God is someone who kind of is always intent on balancing the scales in your life. If you're having a tough road, you've kind of earned it. If you're having a good road, you've also earned it. When biblically, neither of those are true, right? If we're honest, we look back on the blessings we've had, they often came when we just did not deserve them at all. And the hard roads we've had are often times when we've been the most focused, the most dedicated, the most clear on our intent and journey in life. We know where we're going. We know where we're heading. We're trying to have courage in the midst of difficulties, and it still comes. And scripturally, we have to hold the truth of the Almighty God as one whose almighty power is exercised because he is love. God is love, 1 John. That from his very nature, his love is what causes him to exercise his power on our behalf. That all that he has made is because he loves what he has made. We were created in his image because he loves those who have made in his image. And everything that he does and exercises on our behalf is because of this steadfast, unfailing love that is meant to unfold from who he is. This is why I love in the Heidelberg Catechism. I want you to listen to this. The question is, what do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Isn't that a great question? I love these catechisms because they tell us, what do you believe when you say that? You stand up in the congregation, you know, we kind of say the creed. What do you actually believe when you say those words and you really mean it? Well, the catechism says this, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth with all that is in them, who also upholds and governs them by his eternal counsel and providence. So there's the creation piece, saying this is important, that we believe this. But that's just the first sentence. That this eternal Father, who created everything, who upholds it, governs it, who's in charge of everything, is for the sake of Christ his Son, my God, and my Father. So we're not talking about generic God, all-powerful being that kind of did things. This is actually, when we say this in the creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, we were saying that he is my God and my Father. And it goes on, even better. And I trust in him so completely that I have no doubt that he will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul. Jesus says the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount. Look at the lilies of the field, you know, take care of them. Why not take care of you? So even in the midst of life, he will provide me with all things that are necessary for body and soul. And moreover, and stick with me on this one, whatever evil he sends upon me in this troubled life, he will turn to my good, for he is able to do it, being Almighty God, and is determined to do it, being a faithful Father. And what the creed is not saying here is that God is the originator of evil. But let's just be honest. If we believe in an almighty, powerful God, we can actually imagine and think about a God who prevents all bad things from ever happening to us, right? I've asked that question numerous times. And the more I get into that, what would it be like if every time I made a bad choice, I was just protected from falling? It's like, it'd be like God being the training wheels on your bike and it just never letting go. I can imagine it, but it wouldn't feel like a real life then, would it, in that sense? And if I'm honest with you, and I look back on my own life, He has not come in and saved the day every time I've made the wrong choice. He has not come in and protected me from any damage that I might have done to myself. And at times I've been hurt by others, and He's not stopped that too. What the creed is saying here is that there's going to be trouble that comes our way. And yes, God is powerful enough to just never allow anything like that to happen. For some reason, He has. For some reason, He lets us skin our knee and worse. The creed says here in this thing that whatever evil comes my way in this troubled life, I like that because that's honest, right? He will turn to my good. Why? He's able to do it because He's Almighty God. So there's the bookends. First is the Almighty God who made all things. Is here the Almighty God who is taking this troubled life, the evil I'm experiencing it, and turning it for my good. Yeah, great, He made the world. That's amazing, that's awesome. Yet, how much more that there is a God who cares about me in this life, cares about me here and now, and has the power to change where I'm at. He can turn it for good. And furthermore, I love how He finishes, He's determined to do it because He is a faithful Father. God's power being enacted on behalf of people that He loves as if they were His own. And they are. And those of you who are parents, you wish you had this power, don't you? You wish that you can take anything that comes your child's way and turn it for good just by your will, just by your strength, just by grabbing the neck and pulling them out of the water, right? I wish I did. I don't. And as determined as I am, as I hope, a faithful father to my boys, I don't have that power. I don't have it even now when they're in my house, let alone when they move away. But God does. He exercises this power because of His love. This is why power pops up, we'll close with this, in these beautiful ways throughout the New Testament. That this eternal God who made all things is such that He exercises His power in our individual lives because He is almighty and He's determined to show His own children that He is faithful. Which is why Paul, in the midst of his own troubles and trials and serving the Lord, being beaten and stoned and thrown out of the city and ridiculed and mocked and being told that his theology was bad, writes to the Romans, church there, and said, you know what? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. And then later on, 2 Corinthians, though probably written earlier, in the midst of the struggle of the thorn in his flesh, the difficult things that he was going through in his life, he heard a word from the Lord. When he asked for the thorn to be taken away from him, he says, you know what? My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. For those in the midst of the struggle, that's a beautiful phrase, but we would prefer a different kind of power, wouldn't we? I'd want the power to have the thorn removed. I'd want the power for my enemies to be kind of just, to use a good Old Testament word, smited. Don't let go of that one. That's a good word. I want the power for things to go my way. But his power is made perfect in weakness in this way. Because his almighty nature is connected to his love. And the almighty, most powerful thing the Lord has ever done is shown his love on dying on the cross for us, for our sins, and for our salvation. And the greatest creation that he's ever made is the new one, where the old person is killed and the new person has come alive in him. If anyone is in Christ, they are what? A new creation. That's almighty. That's a power that is known by faith. That is a power that is able to be confessed by believers, even when they say, "How long will you assault me? How long will you throw me down?" Is something that can be confessed, even through the difficult times when we don't understand what's happening to us. We can still say with David that the Almighty God who made heaven and earth is my rock. There's that modifier, my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My soul finds rest in him because power belongs to him. And with you, Lord, is unfailing love. Friends, we believe God is almighty because he loves us. Let's pray. Lord, in the midst of trials, in the midst of struggles, we forget your power. And may we recognize that the power that made heaven and earth, the power that holds it all together, is a power guided and defined in love. Love on behalf of those who bear his image. For God so loved the world. Help us to hold dear to our belief in a God who is almighty, who is all powerful. Because in it we believe that everything that comes our way, God will turn for good. Because he loves us, and he's determined to do it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as we sing our closing song.